Art Facets Gallery. I have Dr. Chad Kinsellas with us. He is in the political science department over there at Lander. And since it's the day after, I thought we'd have him come on here and talk to us about some of his thoughts. And, of course, he teaches over there. And tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have three of his students plus him. I think we're going to have a round table, aren't we, tomorrow afternoon?
Yes, we will. And I think we've got some really good students. They've got a lot of good things to talk about. So it'll be very exciting.
Absolutely. So, Chad, what did you think of the election as it turned out a whole lot earlier than most people thought last night?
Well, as you said, it was not nearly as close as I think the pundit said. I think there's going to be a lot of pollsters who are sending out their resumes today because there were a lot of polls that were very, very wrong. So a lot of really interesting things that happened and I guess in some cases didn't happen. So very interesting election. And it was called, I thought we would just now be finding out our winner, but I was able to go to bed comfortably last night and get enough sleep and know pretty much, pretty solidly who was going to win.
I thought it was interesting last night when they called, Fox News, I was watching Fox News back and forth, and Fox News called Ohio, and then there was this almost revolt on the there with Karl Rove and who's the other one that said, no, that can't be right. And they started going through their conversation, and in the end, they agreed they were right.
Yeah, very interesting, and Karl Rove had, he had made a prediction, so I think he had something, and he did, it's never good to be wrong, but Ohio was, the expectation was Ohio was supposed to be very, very razor thin, and, there were a lot of really good indications. I have a friend in the Secret Service, he said that Romney had this huge rally in Westchester, Ohio, and it's very close to where I come from. And, in the papers reported 30,000 people, but he was saying that, it was closer to, maybe 45 or 50,000 people. So there was a lot of excitement. The polls were very tight. To plug my alma mater, the University of Cincinnati, who does maybe the only pollsters who got it right, again, so they do the Ohio poll. They came out yesterday and they said Obama plus one, but they said too close to call. And it ultimately basically was, Obama plus one. And so ultimately, and again, if you look, Ohio is interesting because Ohio is really good because it's almost got the same dynamic as the rest of the country. It's kind of a north-south divide. Southern states, very Republican. Northern states are much more Democratic. And Ohio is that same way. And there's some, in the middle is kind of the battleground area in Columbus, Ohio, the capital.
Sure.
So Cleveland, Cuyahoga County is a Democratic bastion. Cincinnati, very close to where I'm from, is the Republican bastion. And ultimately, if you can't win Hamilton County as a Republican, that's not good news. And ultimately, that's what happened. And I guess the rest now is history. So Ohio was interesting, and I think that a lot of people thought that it was going to be much more up for debate. And really, I thought there was a very close potential. We might be waiting for 10 days to count the provisional ballots, but
sure.
It's a done deal now. So
it's and the more the night went on, the more you could see that that 3-2-1 philosophy just wasn't going to pan out.
No, there was a lot of things just didn't pan out. So at least for the Romney campaign, but things came up very well for President Obama. So and
what do you think made what was the difference? What was it in the process that they both went through? What do you think made the difference? Why President Obama won, and why did Mitt Romney lose? What aspects of it?
If I could, there's two things, and I may regret, but I think this is it's interesting. There were some exit polls that came out, and so there were two really interesting things that I found with all of this. One of the exit polls talked about, who is more like you, or who cares about somebody like you, or who is more, like you.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama had that by easily, I think it was somewhere between 10 and 12 points. And they said, who would be better to fix the economy? And I think Romney had that by 6 points. And it goes back to, 2000 and why President Bush won. It was kind of like, who would you rather have a beer with? Like nobody wanted to have a beer with, Al Gore, because he's kind of the nerdy guy that wouldn't be a fun person to hang out with. But Bush seemed kind of like the fun guy, even though he wasn't a drinker at that point. Romney kind of seemed to have that kind of Gore-esque, if you will, not a guy we want to hang out with. He wasn't going to drink the beer even if offered. But Obama clearly he's kind of like one of us, if you will, so somebody you could hang out with. So that might be part of it. I think the other part And we talked about this a lot in my classes today, and there's been some talk in the news, the storm, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some interesting things, and I've read some articles about this. There were some people, I think, that thought that the storm would actually help Romney. But I think that it ultimately, and again, there's going to be a lot of discussion about this, it might have helped Obama for a couple of reasons. I think, number one, there were some people, Romney had some momentum going up until that weekend.
Yes, he did.
And people were talking about that, you know, people were talking about that momentum. But, you know, the Superstorm Sandy came along, and that discussion and the debates and everything was off the table when we were talking about the Superstorm. So that it kind of, if you will, somebody used the term froze the polls, which was not good for Romney because it stymied progression.
They call it the October surprise, right?
And it was, you know, there's always kind of an October surprise. Some of them, you know, sometimes the campaign will find something about the opposing campaign and release
right.
that information. And then sometimes, you know, there's just Mother Nature, you know, a snowstorm, a storm, or something freak happens,
yep.
And so it's kind of like this, so number one, it froze the polls, and then number two, you have this instance where, you know, one of the things that Obama was getting hit on very hard by Mitt Romney, and people were beginning to believe that Mitt Romney was less partisan than Obama, that Obama was very partisan. But then, you know, he goes to New Jersey, and he's hanging out.
And he
gets
a hug by Chris Christie.
Yes, the odd couple. Again,
yes.
He had this very tall man and this very kind of short...
I've stood next to him. He's very short and very round.
Very round, yes.
Yep.
I was trying to say, glad you said it. I was trying to think of a nice way to say it. He's very short and round. So it's kind of this odd couple, but, you know, they show up together. And this Chris Christie, you know, was pretty harsh in the criticisms he had, particularly at the Republican National Convention. And so now he shows up, and, you know, they're hugging. And, you know, Chris Christie, the almost vice president, depending upon who you ask, almost vice presidential candidate, you know, his compliments is, oh, you know, the federal response has been wonderful. President Obama has been wonderful to work with. And there's a big love fest between a Democrat and Republican. And I think that only it makes him look, oh, well, they Republicans, Obama can get along with Republicans. You know, he's you know, getting hugged by Chris Christie. And then,
would we say that Chris Christie became a hoe with that moment?
I think he
needed it for his state. And that shows what can happen when you need something.
It's true. Yeah, so that's ultimately what happens. And Chris Christie has to do it, too, because he also, I mean, he does not want to look inept to his state as well. So there's two, you know, there's a reason for the love fest. I think Rush Limbaugh called Chris Christie kind of a marble column or something like that. Chris Christie was Obama's marble column, just kind of supporting him. So you have, you know, so he's at that point, the president is bipartisan because he's working with a Republican and they're talking about how well they work together. And then you also have a moment, you know, I hasten to call it this, but, you know, there's a rally around the flag effect. And it's this idea that there's a crisis and we rally around our president. And again, so that you have this moment, we have a crisis, and Obama looks very presidential at that point. He ceases to become the candidate and he's the president. And so he can... And so it looks very presidential, and he looks like he has leadership, and he looks like he's bipartisan. So I think you have a moment, and it couldn't have come at a better time. Not to downplay the effect of the storm, but politically,
absolutely,
it came as a very critical time for Obama. And
could have
you
been
know,
a godsend
for him. Yeah. So this will be much debated, and I think it should be, but, it, you know, something interesting that could have stymied the polls for Romney, and again, it increases our ability to say the president works well with other people, and he's the president. And he,
so
you know,
who forgot to mention that he doesn't work that well with everybody? We've seen it for 4 years.
Well, again,
what happened? Was it the media?
Voters have a short attention. I guess all of us, we have a short attention span. And again, it's kind of, what have you done for us lately? So for many voters, it's kind of like we are willing to give people a pass. And he says, what we saw just recently. So, and again, it's like, you know, I will work better with Republicans. And he said, oh, look, he's giving Chris Christie a hug. You know, mission accomplished. To use a term from President Bush, if you will.
but still, would you take that back to the media?
I don't think it's the media's fault. I mean,
the storm was a
major moment. And again, so you cover the news, and it was, again, a superstorm. And, you know, so the media, I mean, there's a lot of political studies. The media does have an effect.
Sure.
And again, it's in this case, I don't think, you know, I wouldn't want to go out and say that the media was partisan or that they were, you know, doing Obama a favor.
Do you believe that the media is partisan, though? Are there not partisan medias?
It can be. Again, one of the things.
I don't want to say this, but it's true.
Well, I would say it is true. And something I have my class do is I will get an episode from the O'Reilly Factor, and we talk about media and politics, and I'll get an episode of the Ed Show, and they'll cover the same issue, and my class can pick up in a 5-minute segment of each. That there's a clear difference on how they view and how they portray the different things. So there is a difference, but ultimately the media overall, they're covering the superstorm, and they want to cover, you know, especially in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, there's an added, and maybe this is a good thing, you know, we want to make sure that the federal and state governments and local governments, that they're working well and they're taking care of the storm victims. And in this case, it worked better, obviously. Couldn't get much worse, I suppose, than Katrina. But again, so it worked good. You know, it was good for Governor Christie in that essence, and maybe, you know, maybe this helps him win in 2016. We'll see. But I think it also helped Obama. And the media is going to cover those things. And again, the president, by just being the president, you know, we looked at, you know, the executive. A lot of people work for the president, but we see kind of this one person, and he is the leader of the nation. So it's kind of, we, you know, there's a storm and there's something awful that happened and people were hurt and lost things and died. So we want to, you know, we have to look to somebody to kind of lead us through this, and it's the president. And so it helped Obama look more presidential, perhaps.
Okay. Taking that we look to the president and people died and everything, what about Benghazi?
You know, that's...
Just haven't heard a lot about that, and yet 4 people died with Benghazi.
And there's been, and you know, the parents of those who have died have been very vocal about that. They're very angry with the president. Is that the partisan media? There's been a lot of discussion. I had a lot of students last night that, and again, they are definitely, you know, more Romney supporters or Republican supporters. But, you know, and that was their argument. Well, what about that? And they said the same thing. What about Benghazi? It didn't get a whole lot of play, I guess, or maybe, again, the facts are maybe too complicated. Again, voters, the idea is we have a very short attention span, and, you know, we move on to the next thing. And if it takes too long to explain, you know, forget it. So, you know, Benghazi is out there, but again, it's one of those things that was in the news. It's what kind of, there's been some psychological, political studies. It's kind of like, what's at the top of your mind? And I think, my theory, I guess I would argue, to bring out the political scientist in me, is that, you know, when people were thinking about present, they weren't thinking about Benghazi, they weren't thinking about those things, they were thinking about what happened just a couple of days ago. And it's very simple. It's fresh in your mind.
Top of the mind.
You're pulling off the top of your mind. So again, for those voters who weren't already committed, you know, that might have sealed the deal, perhaps. So definitely one of those things. So there's a couple of things that I think helped Obama, so, and particularly that October surprise, I think, ultimately might have been the difference. And again, was it Chris Matthews, I think, on MSNBC, you know, they said, thank God for the storm. So again, I'm sure he's going to take some flack for that, because
That's a two-edged sword, right there.
You have to be a little careful. You have to be very careful with context and how you use that. But, you know, it did help. I think it definitely helped Obama. Again, there will be others that will disagree and maybe say it had no effect. But
I think it did. Hey, I'm here with Chad Kinsella. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. Hey, if you've got a question maybe you'd like to ask while you've got a political science professor here, it's your opportunity to ask a question. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday,
That's right. I'm back here with Chad Kinsella. I think we'll talk a little more national politics, and then in the second half we'll talk some local politics because there are some interesting parallels and things that happened in our local elections. But we've just been talking about October surprise. Did the storm Sandy have an effect on President Obama getting reelected? And what happened to the economy? I thought the economy was the big issue.
Economy is a big issue. And again, Mitt Romney, again, if you believe the exit polls, again, Mitt Romney had that edge. And I remember seeing that, and I thought that would be the deciding factor. Some of the things that I'm still kind of defy almost explanation by me, because I really thought that this race would have been, I really did not think that I was going to bed last night, number one, at midnight, number two, knowing who was going to win because of the economy. So again, one of the things that we talked about last night with my students, and I've had some conversations with some colleagues, is, you know, would another Republican candidate that ran in the primary done better? And I'm not sure. And again, kind of doing the Monday morning quarterback, again, could Romney have done much better? You know, I don't know. So again, it's a testament, I think, also to the Democratic Party and Obama's ground game. They were able to get the turnout. So it's kind of an interesting moment because, again, there are a few candidates for president, as Obama was, that is the incumbent, who had really bad economic information. I mean, the economy is not doing very well. It's a little bit better than it was in 2008, but not significantly, and still was able to pull out a fairly, I mean, if you look at the Electoral College, he pulled off, you know, a very big win, and if you look at the popular voting, it's a lot closer, but again, so he was able to defy that, the saying it's the economy stupid, and win that. So there's some interesting dynamics there that again, I'm going to have to explore in a little bit more detail, but it is really odd. If again, the logic would say that if the economy is not good, it's not much improved from 2008. We basically, people overall saw that the opponent would be better manager of the economy, yet the incumbent still won.
Do you think it had to do with the fact that some of the discussions that I've heard and everything have said that President Obama's team just was able to discredit Romney at an early stage of the election process?
That may be part of it. I've seen some of the articles that, and they said, you know, the key, and I think it was like Charlie Cook on the Cook Report talked about, you know, the key was those negative ads that were run early against Romney, and that does have an effect because, again, most people, mm-hmm. I would hope everybody, but most people knew who Obama was but before the 2012 election.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who Mitt Romney was. And
sure.
Again, so he was kind of in the pack of Republicans. Republican voters and maybe, you know, people interested in politics would have known who he was, but, you know, most average citizens would not. So you are, at that point, when he's running for president, all you have is a name. And this is where it's important for a candidate to get out, and you have to run this positive kind of, they call them the sainthood commercials. It's like, you know, I'm Mitt Romney, I came from Massachusetts, and I work with Republicans and Democrats and all these wonderful things. But if your opponent can get out there and run enough ads early enough and paint the picture of you beforehand and a negative picture of you, that's going to stick with voters. Fairly or unfairly, that's ultimately what happens. So it's kind of, you know, the image doesn't help. And again, he kind of have an image of kind of, you know, not a fun person, kind of a very stiff person.
You think Romney should have been more of a scrappy type of person?
You know, he was in that first debate,
he was
scrappy.
Scrappy,
and
right.
Then he had the...
But all along, everybody was amazed when Romney came out and was on point, and that President Obama was like, I don't want to be here, you know, whatever you want to say about that. His attitude there was not conducive to the presidential. But more scrappy, more should he have taken a harder line? A lot of the pundits were out there saying he should have taken a harder line to begin with.
Perhaps. You know, he could have,
But I don't think it's his nature.
It's definitely not his nature. And, you know, he seems to be a fairly good-natured person. And again, it was really interesting in his concession speech, and recently he said, you know, hey, I'll work with Obama, and we need to take care of this problem with partisanship, and maybe he's looking to the next election, possibly, but, you know, that's...
He's been there twice now. I think he's done.
Hey, well, thank you. I don't know. Maybe he runs for Senate. I don't, or governor again. Who knows? But again, he's run for a lot of offices.
Well, you think he could end up as President Obama's business czar?
Who knows?
I made him speechless. Okay, let's tune in to South Carolina News while Ted comes up with an answer for that one. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass, having a good time talking about the election yesterday, and a lot of people just wonder what direction this country is going to go in. You know, I heard something interesting this morning, Chad. I heard that they were saying that if somebody votes Democratic the first time, they vote the second time, they vote the third time, they're probably most likely going to stay a Democrat. That, coupled with the fact that there hasn't been, I guess, what shall we say, since President Reagan, a defining Republican, and so that may be where part of the problem is, that the Republican Party doesn't have an image of being hip, cool, and the party to be with.
And there's a lot of evidence to maybe back that up. Again, if you look at young voters, it is a huge gap, and that's something that the Republican Party really needs to be aware of. One of my students who portrayed Obama said, it talked about Pell grants, and that got a big cheer when they did a mock presidential debate. But anyway, so ultimately, again, there is this problem that Republicans have. It's, the image. And there's a really interesting book it talks about party image, and they ask about good things about each party and bad things. And if you notice, it's almost back to 1950, consistently the most negative part about the Republican Party that's listed, big business. And they don't do much to try to, throw that off. People like the fact that they're conservative but don't like the fact that they're big business. And that doesn't also resonate, I think, with younger people. So I think the Republican Party does have a problem with younger voters, and that's something they need to repair, because you're right, a lot of those voters are going to go on. And voting is habit forming. Again, there's been a lot of studies. If you non-voters consistently don't vote and voters consistently vote. And then also, once you, even if you declare yourself an independent, and you might sway towards one side, and once you lean towards one side, you're probably going to remain that way for quite a while. So it's very consistent. And if you give up on those voters and you don't change their habits early, you have a big problem there. So the Republican Party does need to do something, because it's almost 70. Maybe 65-35 at this point, and that's a pretty big gap. So again, if you look at polls across, and young voting, it's still very low, but again, there has been upticks. I have not seen anything from this election, but again, 2008, there was a fairly significant increase in youth voting, and it was clearly for Obama. So
what did you think of the commercial that they did, that the gal did about her first time? Which alluded to having sex, but it actually had to do with voting for the first time.
A little bit risque, I would guess. There were some people actually that were saying that type of commercial would lead to the fact that Romney was starting to get momentum, because that's kind of risque. At the same time, maybe a little bit funny. So, you know, interesting. But, you know, maybe, I guess now that I'm getting older, I guess I'm having a...
And you have, like, children, you know,
yes. Well, there's also, yes, it's like, I do have children, too. And so I guess the whole perspective changes. But, you know, maybe for a certain demographic, maybe that works. And, again, you have to remember these commercials that go out are not just haphazardly slapped together and thrown out there. So, I mean, they probably tested this, and I'm sure there were certain people, maybe it was humorous, and maybe, you know, it caught their attention because, it, you know, the illusion of what they were talking about, or what they were alluding to. So, you know, perhaps it was effective, you know, and maybe I'm becoming more of a prude, so maybe that was less tasteful for me, and then I guess, and they have kids, and those are things I worry about. So it's just, anyway, but maybe it was effective.
Well, I just think that was definitely towards a targeted younger market. It definitely would cut a nerve or touch a nerve.
And again,
did your students talk about that one?
There were a couple students who did. And again, with the ability to test these marketing campaigns and ability to really narrow casting and really clearly define who you're going after, because you can really pinpoint demographics. You know, maybe that commercial works well with a younger audience. And you probably wouldn't have showed it at in certain places in Florida where there's a whole lot of older people, they're probably not going to find that nearly as entertaining. But you know, that might, you know, that might work with some with a younger group.
You know, one of the things that I found very interesting is the President Obama's group was able to use social media and the web very, very, very effectively. If you could even watch the Times, if you're on YouTube, and I go to YouTube for a lot of information and everything, you could see some nights, like on a Friday night, President Obama's ads would be all over YouTube, but then you could go on a Tuesday afternoon and there wouldn't be that many. So I very targeted advertising with the use of social media, the web. I'm not sure that the Romney group was as effective with that.
Probably not. And Obama has his campaign team probably has changed really the way in which we use the internet and social media for political reasons. And again, it is very, I mean, he really has, they broke the mold after all that. So again, he's really set, and we are actually, in one of my classes, we were talking about raising money, you know, via the internet, and really Obama, McCain actually, ironically, in 2000 was able to, you know, get a lot of money and keep up with Bush for a while, and Dean was able to use it, but Obama really broke the mold as far as a trendsetter and really being, and again, the amount of money that they raised from small donors, so they were extremely effective in using it for fundraising and just reaching voters, and they were very, very effective. And I don't know that the Republicans or Mitt Romney or really Republicans overall have really ever caught up with that. And again, I think that's something else. Republicans, again, kind of, if when they have to go back and kind of think about things that went wrong, that's something that they need to get out in front of. Because again, I think Democrats, and again, I use YouTube and a lot of things, and you know, certain times, and I think they, YouTube and everything, they'll know when certain people are on and when there's high levels,
sure,
of usage, and that's something that they'll sell to potential advertisers. So I think, and Obama used that very effectively, and he's the internet very effectively, email very effectively.
Well, how about text? How about text messages to all those cell phones that they were giving out to those in need?
My dad is still. Still jokes with me against him. My dad said, I guess he's kind of like the Reagan Democrat, if you will, and he was in a union, and he was actually president of his local union, railroad union. Wasn't happy they got taken over by the Teamsters. He's very upset. He still thinks Bill Clinton sold out the unions, he started to vote pretty reliably Republican in his older age, and he called me and said, he calls them Obama phones. He said, if somebody was going to give me an Obama phone, and I almost took it and was going to vote for Obama, but I went and voted for Romney instead. And he said, boy, those 250 minutes sound good. So,
I just wondered if they're text capable.
I don't think
if they're enabled with text. But that leads to a whole other subject, and that's not what we're really talking about here today.
To answer your question, I don't think that they are text able. But again, Obama did use and has used text, and again, fundraising via text, and again, spreading text. You could send a text to somebody else. They've done incredible things with social media that are, you know, have gotten the, you know, turnout, help with turnout, help with fundraising. And again, if you look at their at Obama's small donors from 2008 and then from 2012, they were able to raise a lot of money from people that were giving, you know, less than $100, you know, millions. So again, it's huge for a boon for small donors.
Absolutely. We are here with Chad Kinsella. He is the political professor over there in the political science department. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. I hope you're enjoying this conversation. If you have a question or a comment, though, jump in. Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. These days are ours.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery talking to Chad Kinsella from over there at Lander University. We are talking elections. We spent a lot of time talking about the presidential election. I think for a lot of people out there, I've seen lots of stuff going on out there on the Internet and talked to a lot of people. Total shock that Romney was defeated as bad as he was defeated. I think everybody kind of believed it was a long shot, but in those last 2 weeks, the momentum is, and as you said, all the events he was having and everything, huge turnouts. So it was a surprise last night.
I think it was a big surprise for a lot of people. And you know, there was a whole lot of pundits, not the majority, but I think there were a lot of pundits who really did think that he was going to win. I mean, to his credit, he really closed the gap. I mean, he did better in Pennsylvania, he did better in Wisconsin, better in Minnesota, Virginia, across the board, but better isn't
winning.
Yes, better is not winning. And again, and a popular vote means absolutely nothing. And
well, what do you think about that? Should we continue to have an electoral college?
I've been playing devil's advocate, but there's a couple of things. I like the Electoral College. And again, one of the reasons...
Because?
Federalism. States have to play a key role. And again, the United States is unique. The Electoral College is unique. And again, coming from graduate school, I had a lot of people from across the world. Unanimously, everybody thinks... I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of the people I encountered from different countries, Germany, Mexico, Brazil, nobody likes the Electoral College. And they say, why do you all do that? So I always felt myself defending, you know, my American pride and say, you know, we have to have this. Part of that, I think, it deals with federalism, that states play a key role. I think the other part is if you think about trying to change the Electoral College, it becomes very difficult. We had this discussion today in class to get rid of the Electoral College. If we're going to completely replace it, we have to change the American Constitution. To do that, you have to have two-thirds of the House and the Senate do that. If we just pretend for a moment that the House and Senate are going to get rid of the Electoral College, which would probably be difficult to do, to start with, we'll assume that they will. Then it goes to 3/4 of states have to pass it. That's 38 states. Are there enough states that gain something from that? And again, something I showed my class, if you look, there's 7 states that get 3 electoral votes. Montana, Wyoming, Vermont, and a couple of others. And again, small states. They get 21 electoral votes. And I think their combined population is about 5.3 million people. If you take the entire population of Pennsylvania, which is... it's like 12.7 million people, and again, this
could
is going from memory.
Bit,
it could
yeah.
be off a little bit, so at least forgive me that. But again, more than double the amount of people in those 7 states. Pennsylvania gets 20 electoral votes, one less than those other 7 with less than half of their population. And again, it's one of those things. So would those 7 states basically vote to make themselves completely irrelevant? Probably not. If you're a Democrat in California, you love the Electoral College. Why? 2016, I'll go ahead and call it right now, 55 electoral votes are going toward the Democratic candidate. I don't know who that's going to be, but they're going to get 55 electoral votes from California. They're going to get 29 from New York. That's, you know,
that's huge.
That's huge. I haven't done the math real quick in my head. It's either a quarter or a third of the way of to 270, which is what you need to win. Texas, if you're a Republican in Texas, you don't want to change it. I mean, that's 38 votes towards your candidate. And usually Republicans have to kind of cobble together all these smaller states to add up to something. So, you know, big states get something, small states get something. And then, Lord knows, if you're in Ohio, you don't want to change it because you get a lot.
That's where all the emphasis is every darn time.
I mean, people in Ohio, and again, I being from northern Kentucky, right up near Cincinnati, I check the local paper there a lot in the Cincinnati Inquirer. And there, 1.2 weeks ago, there was a headline. It was like, you know, where are the candidates? There was one day in a month that for some reason nobody, Obama or Biden, nor was Ryan or Romney in Ohio. And again, they were complaining that they were feeling neglected at that point because there was one day where nobody was there. South Carolina, Kentucky.
We never saw them.
We didn't see anybody at all.
Exactly.
So again, so you know, Ohio got a lot of attention, Colorado. So I think there's enough states out there that you know, perceive, you know, that they're going to get some attention. Think about it this way. If you had a popular vote system, would anybody, you know, would New Hampshire have gotten as much attention as it did? I don't think anybody would have gone to New Hampshire. I mean, I'm sure New Hampshire is a lovely state. I have not been there, but, you know, it played a key role. Iowa, another one. Des Moines is a bigger city, but, I mean, who's going to go to Iowa if there's a popular vote?
Absolutely.
So, again, that's one of the big things with the Electoral College. It's tough to change. As much as, again, 60% of American people don't like it, but I have a feeling it's here to stay.
Interesting. All right. Well, tomorrow afternoon we're going to bring three of your students and you here, and we're going to be talking about, what are we going to talk about?
We can talk about elections. I'm sure that they would love to talk about the Electoral College. They have almost got me convinced that we need to go to a proportional system. That was their big argument today. They all participated in a mock presidential debate. Many of them are very politically active. Two out of the three went to the DNC. So, I mean, we could talk about anything you want. They're a wealth of information. Very good students. So, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So, we'll be looking forward to that. Hey, if anybody's got a question, you can email it to me at wcrs@wcrs1450am.net. And give me something to think about to ask these young whippersnappers that'll be here tomorrow afternoon. But we've only got a little bit of time left. But, Chad, what did you think about the turnout in South Carolina? A huge turnout across the state of South Carolina, 65 to 75, 80%. Huge.
It seems like turnout, and again, I haven't seen too many of the numbers yet, but it seems like turnout almost across the board was very large. So that's quite interesting. And again, it's interesting that happened. Gallup, and again, one of the polling agencies that I find to be one of the most trusted, actually projected that turnout was going to be less than 2008 and less than 2004. Now, I don't think all of the numbers are in yet, but I'm not so sure that they're going to be right on this one because there was a long lines of a lot of places, and included South Carolina, had several.
Well, I think some of the stuff in South Carolina, though, Chad, was they only had one or two machines when they should have had 11 down there in Lexington. That was a real snafu.
Yeah, I mean, when that happens, I guess if misery loves company, I think that happens in a lot of different states. So again, we were not alone in that, but not that that's to excuse them, but that's a problem.
But 69.48% voter turnout right here in Greenwood. That was, I thought, phenomenal. Having seen a lot of these elections and been part of it, when I went that morning to vote, I think I was number 172, and normally I'm like number 45, 46, so that was huge.
Definitely. Yeah, it looked like really across the nation, I think across the board, people were talking about the fact that there were so many, I mean, long lines and lots of people that were turning out to vote. So You know, it's good that people care, and it's good that they participate and at least get their voice heard. So I think that it's important. And again, you know, a turnout that large, that is, you know, something to be proud of again. So, and I know at Lander, we've had a lot of efforts to try to register students. So, you know, that's great. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, some of the numbers across the nation to see what actually happened. One of the big things they're talking about, you know, did the youth turnout, is that going to be the same as it was in 2008? I guess ultimately it's kind of a moot point because, again, the idea was the youth had to turn out to elect Obama, and that's been done. So, but it'll still be interesting to see what happens. So, but it looks like preliminary indications show that the turnout was fairly large across the entire country.
Absolutely. So what do you think? Does President Obama, I'll use this word, change his tune a little bit as far as trying to work with the Republican Congress, the House there, and, of course, the Senate is Democratic? But do you think that he took away the idea that maybe he needs to come to the table as well as they do?
Perhaps. And on my way over here, I saw John Boehner was out on TV, and basically I didn't get to hear the whole speech. But again, he was kind of the gist was is that he was going to work with President Obama. He said, you know, we're not going to give up on our, you know, surrender our principles, but, you know, that we could work together. So I thought that, you know, maybe that's kind of the thing they do after the election, say we're going to work together. If they actually keep to that is another thing. But it sounds like they may. Really, they have to at this point. There is no, of course, Harry Reid, I guess, what did he say? If Romney were elected, there was no way that he would ever work with him. But
did he say something till hell freezed over?
Something
very close to that.
Something very close to that. Harry Reid has, and this is the same person who said that Team USA should take their Chinese-made clothes and put them in a pile and burn them.
Right.
A little, maybe a bit over the top, but so ultimately, regardless of, you know, there is no clear mandate because ultimately Republicans picked up seats in the House. So again, Ben Chandler, to make my plug for Kentucky, the Chandler family in Kentucky has a long history of in Kentucky politics, and Ben Chandler was in the Kentucky's 3rd District, lost. And again, it was redrawn to keep him safer, and he still lost. So again, Republicans picked up seats in the House. Democrats picked up, I think, 2 seats in the Senate. Republicans still have the ability to filibuster in the Senate. So there is the potential. The president by himself cannot do it. And I think maybe, you know, there were some lessons learned, I think, in those first 4 years about, you know, what it takes to get along with people. So hopefully that's a lesson that they've all learned, because ultimately it's divided government, and they could decide to either work together and get things passed, or they could completely not do anything for 4 years. So
this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I'm here with Chad Kinsella. I want to ask you one more thing, Chad. If President Obama being reelected is a mandate on his philosophies and ideas, why is it we still have so many Republicans in the House?
Well, probably, and again, as kind of a part-time geographer, as long as political scientist, I think one of the key things that happened was in 2010 was a, again, we all take our lumps, I guess, so 2010 was a good year for Republicans. And part of that good year was they were able to elect a lot of governors, and they were able to take control of a lot of state legislatures. And the state legislatures, like South Carolina, draw those maps, and so they can draw them in such a way to, you know, keep people safe and to pick up seats. Happened in North Carolina. Simply, North Carolina, I think, just redrawing the maps, I think they picked up 2 or 3 more Republicans just by redrawing the maps. No other thing. So I think those maps really saved Republicans. Again, some good recruits, but I think overall they drew themselves some very good seats, and I think that's going to keep them safe probably for quite a while. So, I think the key is that they have those maps drawn in such a way.
Well, I think it'll be interesting because really we still have the same gridlock, it looks like to me, that we've had for the last 4 years, and it'll be interesting to see when the lame duck session comes back in, since it's going to stay basically the same. There is no reason for them not to sit down and work it out and get the job done. But my question is, will they actually work together to get the job done?
That is the million-dollar question.
The trillion-dollar question.
Yeah, what's the debt right now? So that could be a several trillion-dollar question. So, yeah, that is the big question. I mean, do they sit down together and work out? Again, preliminary indications, of course, right after the election, while we're paying attention.
Yeah, we're still giving each other hugs and kisses.
Yeah, lots of hugs and kisses going on right now, but, you know, how long is it going to last? Will it last more than a month? We'll have to wait and see. Again, we'll wait and see with all of that. They have the capabilities to work together. There have been instances where, you know, the parties have been able to come together and work things out. Unfortunately, that has not happened a lot frequently. And again, you have, during Obama's first, 4 years, there were several instances after the House went over to the Republicans and Republicans had enough to filibuster, things didn't work so smoothly after that. And again, after
that's what I'm saying. In the
supermajority of Democrats was gone. So, they got things done when it was easy. Now it's not so easy. You know, can they work together? Can they kind of find some sort of common ground? History tells us no, but hopefully, we can always hope for change, I guess.
If we spend four more years like we've had the last 4 years, our country is going to be in very, very, very bad shape.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends, the economy is still a big issue. Debt is, for a lot of people, is still a big issue, and that has been something that they have been unwilling and unable to touch. Again, we had, the super committee that was supposed to get together, the best deal makers that the Senate had to offer, they couldn't come to a deal. And
absolutely.
So now we've got, something's got to happen. And again, we have, budgets have not been passed. So these things have to happen in order for government to function. So we got to wait.
And then we have Obamacare.
Yes, we have Obamacare. Wisely enough, the taxes for Obamacare are going to take effect this coming year, and I think 2014. So if you're going to be...
Hold on to your wallet.
Yes, hold on to your wallet. And if you're angry, it's too late to do anything about it. So... and there's all kinds of, I think what they call it, Taxamageddon or something like that, I think was the term I saw. So again, if you're interested in that, there's some articles out there, important. There are some new taxes that are coming up, and the mandate that we're going to have to all buy, healthcare. So, hold on to your wallet, hold on to your seats. There's a lot going on.
Absolutely. Well, Chad Kinsella, thanks so much for coming out today. We'll look forward to the roundtable tomorrow afternoon.
Yes, it'll be great. It's always an honor to be on and glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I guess we'll hear a few words from our sponsors and then carry on. I'm done for today. Be back tomorrow morning. Hey, don't forget, we're having Adjutant General Robert Livingston on tomorrow morning. We're going to be talking about... Actually, Peggy's going to be on, and then he is going to be here. We're going to be talking about some new programs with veterans, and I certainly hope you'll stay tuned in tomorrow morning on the I Love Ann Show. Hey, that's going to do it for me. Bye-bye, everybody.